Hello, and welcome to the Heavenbound Podcast. I'm Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life the way it was meant to be and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. We appreciate you joining us on the journey. Here in the month of April, on Fridays, we are talking about the incredible work of bringing children to Jesus. If you were unable to join us last Friday, we went back to Mark chapter 10. You might remember reading, beginning right around verse 13, that there were many people bringing children to Jesus that he might touch them, and his own disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw it, Matthew and Mark both tell us that he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." Bringing children to Jesus matters. It is not wasted effort. And we find ourselves in the context of our own church family, but we know many disciples all around the world as we recover from a major disruption over the course of the last year. We're getting back into the swing of Bible classes. And so, Roger, we're talking about the value of those. Last Friday, we talked to parents, and today we'd like to talk directly to the Bible class teacher. And so let me kind of paint a picture for you. Maybe this past Wednesday, a dedicated teacher had worked all day long, and then on Wednesday nights, while other adults were vegetating in front of the TV at home, here they were singing "Jesus Loves Me" to a bunch of toddlers for the thousandth time. Was it worth it?
And that's a thought that a lot of teachers have. It's a thought that we preachers have from time to time. You're tired. You wonder if you connect. But the value of what you're doing is only known in heaven. It's just enormous. We have just incredible teachers here at Charlestown Road from all ages. We have those who are teaching the adults. We have those who are teaching our college students, teaching our high school, all the way down to the very little ones who sit in those little plastic chairs. And they can't get their feet on the ground, and they'll say, "I'm stuck." And you know, they just different levels of teaching, but what great, great things they do. One of the things that we want to emphasize right away, and it's known in our church family very well, is that we teach Bible classes. We teach the Bible. When we talk about having children's classes, we're not talking about babysitting. We're not talking about mom and dad dropping the kids off and they go out to eat and then they come back an hour later and someone's had free babysitting. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about children's church where the kids get together in a room and they just play and they eat and it's just playtime. Maybe like recess years ago in school. We're talking about sitting down in classrooms with an adult who has studied the Bible, has spent some time looking at class material, and they're going to, on the level of that child, teach them about Jesus, teach them about values, teach them about authority, and just the powerful, powerful lessons from God. And to see the great goodness that accomplishes. One of the first verses that come to our mind when we think about this topic is Ephesians 4, verse 11. There the apostle says he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. And two things just jump out immediately. First of all, the he in that verse is God. God gave. These are gifts from heaven. The teachers of the Bible classes is something that God wants. And then the second thing we see with all these different categories, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, they all were forms of teachers. God's avenue from early on was using teachers, using preachers to get his message across. That has always been the work of God. And so when we think about a man or a woman and they've worked all day and they're tired like everyone else is tired. But instead of watching TV at home, they're up looking through the Bible verses. They're cutting out things for a class. They're thinking about what they can do and how they can present things to their kids. And they do that because the love of the Lord. They do that because the good that can be accomplished. Little hearts are learning about Jesus Christ. They're learning values, and it's just enormous amount of great good that's done. Hats off to our teachers. And through this podcast, we hope some that are listening to us who maybe have never taught before will think about that. What an honor it is, what a responsibility it is, what a joy it is to teach someone else the wonderful message of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, if we stay right there in Ephesians chapter 4 and just keep reading a little, I appreciate how you brought out, okay, God is the giver of this gift. What is the goal of the work of apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers? You keep reading there in verse 12, and it is to equip. It is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood. He goes on to say eventually, so that we would no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine and so on. So many things right there in those few lines that define the goal for us. I think one of them is coming to a knowledge of God and of His Son. That starts very young, right? Roger, both of our wives are dedicated to off and on teaching very, very young classes. And I'm always amazed at the ability of some of these talented ladies to get even very little hearts to recognize certain things about God. That's challenging to do. In many respects, I would rather teach an adult class than a class of 4 and 5 year olds, because getting them to understand some of those important concepts, that's a challenge. And yet children that age can come to know things about their Creator.
And you know, through wonderful different tools and avenues, such as songs. The little ones are learning the books of the Bible in order. They're learning the names of the apostles. They're learning the sons of Jacob and all these wonderful concepts. And to see them in their homes, reminding mom and dad, hey, we got to say prayers. Hey, we got to do these things, to see the goodness that can come from such an innocent heart. You know, I think all teachers, especially of the younger ages, they all have a collection of cute stories. I mean, these curious little hearts, they will express things, and sometimes it's not really the biblical idea, but they'll turn it into the right way. I remember my wife was talking about Elijah one day and how God sent the birds to feed him, gave him bread, and she tried to emphasize to her class, what is something that you need every day? A little hand shot up and said, Pop-Tarts. That may be what he needed in his home. But through that, my wife got to show them about how God takes care of us. And those are just great values as we think about that. I know two men today who are preaching the gospel, who I think back were teenagers in a class that I taught. And you think about what value, what impression do you have? Those are some of the values right there. You're teaching hearts that are going to follow Jesus. You're teaching people that's going to grow up and someday have their own children, hopefully, and that they're going to teach their children. It's just a wonderful legacy of explaining God's word and God's truth in a simplistic way that they will remember. And I've run across people years and years later, and they have left the Lord, and they've been in the wilderness for a long time. But you get in a conversation with them, and they will remember worship services. They remember Bible classes. They remember a grandma or a mother that would teach them at home the things of God's word. And through those conversations, they learn the way back where they need to be, and those things stay with them.
Yeah, Ephesians 4. What's the goal? It is to come to know God. It is to grow people up to mature manhood so that even if we make foolish, destructive choices, we know the way back home. I love also how he brings out attaining to unity. The unity of the faith. And maybe our parents, maybe even Bible class teachers haven't thought about Bible class through that lens before. But Roger, you think about getting a collection of, let's say, seventh and eighth graders together, and maybe they go to different schools in the community, they have different interests, they listen to different music, they're interested in different movies, and yet, by spending time in the classroom together, there is a certain unity of the faith that's not only being emphasized there, but perhaps could shape their generation for years to come.
And there's a connection between that little child and that Bible class teacher.
Yeah.
We've seen that several times. We'll be out in a restaurant or we'll be in a store somewhere, and one of my wife's little class teacher or little children in her classes will come running. They walk right past me. I mean, hey, I'm the preacher, but they pay no attention to me. But they run up and they hug her, and or they'll point to her and say, hey, mommy, that's my Bible class teacher. And there's a connection there. And so it's more than just teaching the lessons. That's the valuable thing we're doing is teaching the Bible. But you're leaving an impression about goodness and service and example before these children. They look and they see you before worship. They see you after worship. And they see here's a person. Now, they may not make all the connections as they should later on, but here's a godly person. Here's somebody that's really going out of their way, and they love Jesus, and they're sharing that with me. What a powerful thing that really is.
Yeah, an example that hopefully, with the power of God's word, leads to that equipping of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12. And that's something that I would really encourage our Bible class teachers to think about. Whatever age group you are teaching, whatever age group you're trying to make an impression upon, this is one more little clip, one tool, one weapon that gets put on their spiritual belt of development. And as hard as it is to believe maybe in the moment, eventually that 4 or 5 year old little boy or little girl will go to college someday. And they perhaps will sit in a classroom where they will hear from a professor how foolish it is to believe that there is a God. But you realize that those stories you taught, those scriptures you read, those songs that you sang, my God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. Even at a very young age, that young heart is being equipped for what is to come.
It's hard to imagine anything we do right now can leave an impression 20, 25 years from now. But these little impressions that the very first classes that these kids are in have left impressions. And Jason and I have fond memories of some of our early teachers, how they taught us. And to each of our teachers, you at one time sat in the class yourself and you had someone teach you. And whether they did a good job or not so good job, there were impressions that you left and you learned about the Lord that way. And what a great, great value that is. I remember the story of some preacher who retired, and he bundled up all his sermons and it's put a string around them, and he wrote on the card, I wonder if these did any good. He was kind of sad about things like that. And his wife saw that bundle and said to him, do you remember how many times it rained last spring? And he said, no, I don't remember. She goes, yet each drop of rain nourished the earth and provided what God wanted to provide to feed and to help the plants. And we may not remember a particular class, we may not remember a particular sermon, but at that moment, it was a drop of rain that made a huge difference. And that's what we got to see. Over the value of someone's quarter of classes, a year of classes, a lifetime of classes, the value that can be done when we stay with it, we're dedicated, and we show what God really wants us to do by trying to spread his word into young and impressionable hearts.
Yeah, that has been God's plan for 2,000 years. We hear the Holy Spirit leading Paul to write to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men and women who will be able to teach others also.
So let me ask you this question, Jason. So let's say here's a listener out here, and maybe currently they're not teaching, and something we said kind of struck a chord with them, and they realize, you know, maybe I need to step my game up. And if you could go back, as you have been teaching classes and preaching the majority of your life, what are some tips you would give to somebody who's a non-teacher today about becoming a Bible class teacher?
First thing that I would do is pick out, I hope that your church family, I know that our church family is full of them, pick out someone that you think teaches well and ask them if you could take them to get a cup of coffee together. And just let them start talking. Let them tell stories. First of all, you are going to be, I promise you, such an encouragement to them if you will let them know. Maybe you've never said a word to them about it, but you let them know, I admire how you connect God's word to little hearts or teenage hearts or adult hearts, whatever it is. Could we just talk about how you got started and go from there? One of the best ways, we just heard it there in 2 Timothy chapter 2. One of the best ways to start learning is to talk with people who are doing it. We're working hard in the context of our church family to pair growing, maybe interested but intimidated teachers with experienced teachers so that you build this natural mentoring network, so that if I've got questions, I go and I have someone to talk to who knows what it is to be in that particular trench. That's where I'd start out. What would you add to that?
Well, I would, as I set myself in a Bible class, and let's say I'm not teaching yet, but this is an idea I have in the back of my mind. I would observe the teacher that I'm sitting in that class right now. I would notice how he stays on track. It's so easy to start chasing rabbits, and you get all over the place, and the class is over. Maybe you had lots of people talking, but it's been so confusing because we've been all over the map. How does that teacher stay focused, keep that class in there? How does he stay with it with the time? You know, there's some teachers who just always seem to know what time it is, and they cover their material. How do they do that? And then, of course, I would just spend time in the Bible.
Yeah.
You can't teach what you don't know. And just read that Bible and write notes. Start taking some serious notes about things. Notice where these things happen. Who's there? Why do they do this? And just start making your own notebooks of stuff. And by doing that, number one, you're teaching yourself and you're learning. It's hard to teach what you're not passionate about. The reason why I preach, the reason why Jason preaches, I know is because we have a passion in our heart. We love to do what we're doing. And if a teacher is bored, the class will be boring. If the teacher has no idea what's going on, the class is going to have no idea what's going on. So first and foremost, teach yourself. Become fascinated with Jesus. And just learn and learn and learn. And as he said, watch others. Notice what they do. Notice how they begin a class. Notice how they handle questions. Notice what questions they're asking. And through all this, you're growing and you're learning and you're observing.
Yeah. I would add to that, ask a shepherd, ask a deacon where you can help. Roger, you and I have had a front row seat over the course of the last few weeks to some really encouraging young people who have spent hours and hours and hours deep into the night decorating bulletin boards, getting classrooms set up. We were blessed this past Sunday to get our Bible classes for all ages restarted, and we've tried to sprinkle it in here and there at the beginning of sermons or Bible classes. But the vast majority of our church family really has no ideas how many people have been working behind the scenes because they want this to be a successful effort.
And you might say, well, why does it matter whether the classroom has a fresh bulletin board, is attractive? Because it's an atmosphere. And public school understands that. Universities understand that. We're creating an atmosphere which is going to lead to further learning. And so for those who are listening to other congregations, you know, clean your rooms up. You know, sometimes what the best thing a church can do is get a dumpster and dump. Sometimes we just have lots of stuff to just stick. It doesn't look very attractive. And in that environment, it's hard to learn. It's hard to grow. And so make it attractive. Be attractive. Be excited. And that has a lot to do with the element of teaching God's Word.
We are talking about the greatest story ever told, and we need to treat it like that. We need to be excited about it like that and put forward our absolute best effort. Roger, any closing words of advice or tips?
Well, I would just tell all of our teachers, you know, the thing that I still do before every class is just say a little prayer.
Absolutely.
You pray for yourself that what you're going to teach, you know the material, you're going to be accurate, but you pray for the heart that's going to hear you. And you never know what heart you're going to touch that day, what difference you're going to make in that day. Even these little bitty ones, there's lots of good that can be done. So always say a prayer before you teach.
You mentioned earlier that both you and I have had teachers who have shaped us. And in fact, that's what we want to talk about, Lord willing, next Friday, having talked about our two parents and two Bible class teachers. Next Friday, we'll just talk about teachers that have helped us along the way. And we hope by rehearsing that and maybe sharing some personal stories that will be an encouragement to all. But we appreciate you joining us. We are so encouraged by the positive developments in our church family and the positive traction that we see other church families getting on the Bible class front. Bringing children to Jesus is never wasted effort. It starts at home, and we would encourage our fathers and mothers to remember that and practice these things. But we hope these last 20 minutes have helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for this important work. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you are heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.